Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. It's one of my favorite times of the month. It's our tie special. And here today I've got two people that went actually with me through the TIEX program, their accelerator program here. Later in the show, we'll be talking with Amanda Sanchez with Cache Global. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Ryan Scheller, the owner, producer, and director of Flying Banzai Productions. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you, man, for having me. I appreciate it.
So for our listeners out there, just sort of give a little overview about the TIEX program, what it's meant to do, and then let's go into your idea and sort of how it started out and how we finished out in the TIEX program.
Sure. You know, the TIEX thing has really been something completely new to me. And I went to art school. I'm a creative type. And when I made the connection with the TIEX program, I had really no idea what was going on. The business aspect and the entrepreneur aspect of trying to start an idea is really new. And because coming into film school, you always have these dreams of like, oh, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to write a script. I'm going to go out to LA.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, exactly. You know, if everybody wants to be their Steven Spielberg, or if it's a James Cameron, or everybody
Abrams,
has their director. Yeah. So, you know, we all have these dreams, and that's awesome, and you need to have those things, but they don't always teach that in film school. And so when you get to the point where like, I can't get the script in the right hands, you know, not that your idea is not bad or good, but you know, there's so many walls and loopholes that you have to jump through, and the connections. And unfortunately, the connections are so much of what drives the film business. And it, you know, you could have a diamond, but you know, if you didn't meet that right person, you know, it's a lot harder to get there. So, you know, I made the connection with Katie a while back and joined the TIEX program, and it's been an absolute blast ever since. She's been just completely rock solid for me. And, you know, like I was telling Amanda out in the lobby, it's like, this girl, I mean, I complain that I have no free time, and then I get an email from Katie at 3 a.m., and then at 6 a.m., I'm like, when do you sleep?
She doesn't. She's a robot.
I know. It's completely remarkable. But, you know, she's been, you know, I think our biggest champion for helping us grow our businesses. And so, you know, I can't be happier.
Definitely. Well, Amanda, tell me a little bit about your experience with TIEX and how you feel about it.
Yeah, I really didn't know much about it before coming into the program. I'm just highly into entrepreneurship and read a lot of things like Inc. and Entrepreneur Magazine. And so kind of the idea of doing an incubator or accelerator type of thing was really appealing to me. So Katie was totally supportive in terms of kind of bringing me up to speed about what the program is and, you know, getting me connected. And so it was a wonderful experience, and I would say the biggest things for me were the mentoring aspect and just getting to connect with really successful entrepreneurs and business people who are farther along the path than we all are and totally willing to share their resources and networks and expertise with us. So that was huge for me personally. And then the second thing, just encouraging us and keeping us accountable with a lot of research every week and doing our interviews and really understanding the market that we're getting into and not just, you know, assuming that our idea is going to work, but really getting tangible, concrete data to back up what we're trying to do.
It was definitely a humbling experience.
It was. And the angles that the mentors and the counselors really kind of made you think about, gave me, you know, and I'm sure everybody, just a completely different perspective of how to approach their business, how to approach screenwriting, how to, you know, it's so remarkable how simple it is, but it's so remarkable how like eye opening it can be. And then, you know, once you have that, you're like, wow, it's so awesome. So, you know, it's been
definitely,
you know, just a really growing experience.
So Ryan, tell us about, your story, sort of your backstory, what you were doing, and the idea or company you came into TIEX with.
Well, I've been working on this idea. The title of it is called Being Evil. It's a cartoon comedy. Been working on it for about 5 years, developing the script, making pitches, doing artwork. And, you know, my partner, John Sanders, he is the prop master on The Walking Dead. We've been kind of using our back.
What's that? The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
I don't think I've ever heard of that show. A small little production here.
Oh yeah, it's a little indie TV show. It's no, The Walking Dead is perhaps arguably one of the biggest shows on television, and awesomely. It's shot here in Georgia, and Georgia is absolutely blowing up in the film industry right now. A really, really juicy tax incentive is keeping LA and California in the shadow. So he's helping with that, and we've just been going with our show for about 5 years now, and it's just got to this point where it's like, you know, if you want to do something right, you got to do it yourself. And so we've been, you know, campaigning for some financing and getting it in the right places, and that's just where the TIEX experience really kind of came in.
Okay. And going into the TIEX experience, not like in knowing anything of it, what were really your expectations going into it?
I honestly had no idea. It was pitched to me as an entrepreneur program, and a lot of times when people go into the movie industry, they like, oh yeah, I'll create my LLC, and that's who I am, and I am the every part of my business. But you don't quite realize that one person can't make a business, you know? And so you have to have a team, you have to have a group of people that support you. And so the TIEX really kind of made you think of, who am I going to need to have to build? Because one person can't carry the whole boat.
Definitely. So it's interesting too, because you sort of had a idea in an industry that didn't quite always, they didn't know if it would fit into the TIEX model. And actually it worked really well, didn't it?
It did. You know, I think when the first class, we're all kind of like, what's going on? You know, they were all in like school desk type of tables. And then we're all looking at the front projector. And so there wasn't a personal interaction between a lot of us. And so it was kind of awkward. And KP Reddy was there, talking to us and like, oh, let's throw ideas around. And it was very, very engaging. And then after that, it became kind of, we're at this meeting table and it was like, oh, we can see each other. It was really fun, a lot more laughs. And so, but I had no idea what TIEX was going to be going into it. I just knew it was an entrepreneur program, and like I wanted to, what we were doing right now was not helping us. And so I was like, I have to take my idea to the next level. And whatever I can do to do that, I will. And it turned out to be a great experience.
Well, walk me through that process, because I went through that process as well. And it was really actually uncomfortable. We had to get out of our comfort zone. Can you just explain to the listeners sort of what we had to go out there? We had to do some customer discovery, right?
We did. And my God, it is such a terrifying experience, like walking up to people and just asking questions. And you got to give it to door-to-door salesmen. They are just beasts, and the amount of brutality they take is unreal. But, when going into the TIEX thing, we had to kind of identify the issue we want to tackle with our idea. And through that, it's like, oh, well, my market is exactly this. And so it's like, okay, well, let's target that market and find out what exactly they want. And get those answers, because we all think we know, we all think we have it all figured out, but you don't, it's you're surprised. And the minute you think you have everything figured out is the minute you end up failing. And so we were, we got homework. And so my homework was going to the mall and like talking to people. What is your premium? What do you watch on TV? How do you watch it? Do you watch sports? Do you watch premium television? All that stuff. And so it was a really kind of eye-opening experience, because A, people don't want to talk to you. Especially at the mall. And B, it's just like, wow, it's the answers you actually got were pretty, pretty surprising.
Well, they definitely challenged us there, right? And you took in your idea. And like you said, we all sit in the basement and we love our ideas. And we are like, this is perfect. And we've got it good. And then they challenge you like, well, why does that work? Or why do you think that works? And then we had to go out and ask people about that. Mm-hmm. And what happened the first go through that you went out, asked people? You formed a hypothesis about what you thought people would respond and why they'd buy your product. Then you took it out there, and what happened after that?
Really, the answers we got were people want better television, and they're either willing to pay for it, they're willing to schedule their lives around it, or they're willing to pay for devices to capture that. Because, we're all busy people. The more entrepreneur stuff you're doing, the less time you have. So the kind of the element of having a DVR, having an on-demand feature to where you can watch anything you want, is what people really want these days. And so and the experience was, it's not about saturating the market with just a whole ton of TV shows. It's about having the right ones. And I think that's where, the avenue that we're pursuing with our show is fitting right in. And, the way that the answers people were giving me were giving me a lot of comfort. Mm-hmm. As well as a lot of like, wow, I got to think about this a little bit differently.
So after you went through the whole process, it was a 4-week process. What was the end result, and how did it evolve, and where are you at now with it?
Well, I think when it comes down to cartoons specifically and kind of the, you know, the quote unquote geek, you know, kind of geek community, you know, they want to really enjoy their own thing. So one of the things that I noticed that I did in my research early on was there was a show on Cartoon Network called The Green Lantern Corps. And it was a really, really great show. It was a CG animated show, kind of traditional, kind of, if you were to compare it to something, it looked something similar to the old Pixar's Incredibles. And it was a really awesome show. However, it got canceled. And doesn't matter how good something is, it got canceled. Cartoons are solely, or not solely, but a giant factor of what makes a cartoon successful are the merchandise sales.
Really?
If we look back at, you know, the 1980s Transformers, that cartoon was made to sell toys. And then they're like, oh, we're going to throw a plot around that. Same thing with like Thundercats and things like that. And so the reason Green Lantern Corps got canceled was their toy sales were down for females.
Wow.
So, you know, it really was like, oh my gosh, I really kind of figure out how can I, you know, not in a mean like business cold way, but like how can I make my show more female friendly that, you know, it's going to make people want to buy t-shirts that we design, you know, whatever we can come up with. And it really makes me think about the characters of the show completely different. And that's, I think, the biggest part, the biggest element I got from the TIEX program was just a different mindset of writing the show.
Well, tell our listeners about Being Evil, what it's about, sort of where you guys are with it now and the media that you guys have it in that they can go out there and look at it.
Well, Being Evil is a show about a guy who basically decides that if you want to do something right, you got to do it yourself. And he's like, I'm going to take over the world because, you know, as Gandhi once said, you have to become the change you want to see in the world. And he's like, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, it's about this kind of global energy tycoon juggernaut. He quickly, economically takes over the UK, the US. And then once he realizes that, oh, once you have everything, everything else is not really so exciting. So, you know, overthrowing governments, killing super spies, cheating death is a lot more fun than dealing with real world politics. And however, our main character, he's been focused on doing this for so long that, oh, his brain can tackle these giant world problems, but the comedy of the show comes from
can't handle the day to day.
You know, it's like, what do you mean I can't do that? Like, nothing makes sense. So it's kind of that. He's too smart for his own good, and just the everyday stuff is really what make him react in a much more humorous way.
So where can our listeners go to sort of see this and get a taste of it?
Cool. I'm glad you mentioned that. We've been doing a weekly webcomic, and it's just the purpose of the comic is every week gives you a little bit of slice of what the universe we've created, slice of the characters, and a slice of the humor. You know, it's not as topical as a lot of other comics are, to where, you know, they can like, oh, I went to this conference, this is what I experienced, so we're gonna make a comic around that. Some of them are, but some of them are specifically targeted to this is the world that we're trying to promote. But people can go to www.being-evil.com.
all right,
perfect. And that is you know, you can get the whole feel of the show and taste the artwork and all that good stuff.
And what are you looking for right now? What's the next step in the process for you? Who do you want to get in front of?
Right now, we're looking for financing. We have a distribution deal already in place that we have with Olympusat Media, who also owns Funimation. They're based out of Orlando, Florida, and they control, or they don't control, but they distribute probably about 60% of all animation worldwide. And it's really cool that they do that, because it's like the avenues they push and like the following they have is a perfect fit for us. So, you know, we're looking for financing to get our show kind of to the next level, to create the series, then they're going to put it out. And then, you know, it's all kind of all downhill from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us about it.
Absolutely. It's been a blast.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, she's been sitting there patiently, we have Amanda Sanchez, the executive director of Cache Global. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So we talked a little bit about the TIEX experience. So what was your idea going into the program?
Yeah, I don't think I had a lot of specific expectations other than I just wanted to be around wise, experienced people.
And, definitely.
You know, I know that a lot of good things come when you get smart people in a room together. And, you know, all the better when they're there for the intent of, you know, pouring whatever they can into us. So that was huge.
And just to point out to our listeners, these are people that have exited from multi-million dollar companies and they're donating their time for free to come help us.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And it was a lot longer than the scheduled time period of when we were supposed to be there. And these guys are taking 2, 3, 4 hours out of their day. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty awesome.
All right. So you went in there. What was your company that you went into TIEX with?
Mm-hmm. So it's an online tutoring service. It's called Global Gurus. And our mission is to connect Ivy League university students here in the States with international middle school and high school students who are seeking private tutoring. So kind of twofold. One is the academic subject expertise that they're getting, but more importantly is kind of the nuanced part of interacting with somebody who's in a really rigorous academic setting that many of these students are hoping to enter one day themselves. So really, it's more the relationship aspect and kind of the academic support and tutoring that they get around that is, you know, also beneficial, but really connecting students across continents.
Definitely. I can imagine that too. And I think the Ivy League students would get a lot out of it as well, because I know a lot of the people, millennials for a generation, they want to help people and they want to do something. They want to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's really making a difference, I would think.
Absolutely. One of the most rewarding parts of starting up this company has been getting to talk to these students from Harvard and Princeton and just hearing their passion and them getting excited about the idea just as much as I am. And I mean, that's huge, because I really believe as I'm building kind of this new organization, it's not just me, but it's this collaborative effort and it's this team, and we all need each other. So it's great to have students on board who are super passionate.
Definitely. How did TIEX sort of help mold this company, and where was it when it first started, and how did it end up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a really interesting experience, because when I went into TIEX, I had been a couple months in process of really putting my hand to the plow in terms of getting things going. I'd hired a business colleague out in Southern California who has a marketing company to do a lot of the kind of business processes and strategy and a lot of technology outlining. So I had a really good foundation in place, I felt like, when I came in. But my experience in TIEX, especially from KP Ready, I got a lot of pushback on my idea. And so it really made me doubtful of, wow, it's all this work and money and time that I've been pouring in the past several months. Is this really worth it? Mm-hmm. But I think that pushback was really good for me, because it enabled me to keep going back to my hypotheses and the research questions I was asking, and, you know, continue to refine those and continue to look at different perspectives and angles that, you know, I needed to see things from. And so for me, it was kind of like I felt like I was just being kind of unraveled. And it's like, I don't know if this is even something that, you know, I should take further anymore. But by the end of it, I really felt like I came to a place where my idea had been, you know, strongly challenged, and I felt like I still had something to stand on. And I think more important for me is KP was very thoughtful and reflective in terms of, okay, it's not just that there's this market out there for international online tutoring, but what are you specifically offering that's of value to families' lives and that's contributing to the education system as a whole? And so it was really helpful to me, because I felt like from TIEX, I was able to come away with a much more refined and compelling kind of business model that, you know, I want to be able to offer to these families and students that we're serving. So for me, that was immensely beneficial. And I mean, I wouldn't trade the experience I had.
Well, it definitely sounds like they challenged you, they questioned you, but overall, Kim, your value proposition to these people seems like it's going to be a lot better than it started out with.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
So what are you doing now? And what's going on right now that you're doing in this process?
Yeah, so we have outlined, kind of wireframed the tutoring platform that we want to use. So the tutoring environment itself, with the online web interface and virtual whiteboard, and then everything, you know, from administration, bill payment, keeping student progress reports, all of that. So my plan at this point is to put that on hold before we custom build. I had someone in the pipelines who I was going to work with to develop that, but my approach is much more iterative in the sense that I want to go slow, kind of see what we need technologically, and then build that out before we just kind of assume this is what we think we need before we've even started. So the technology is one piece you know, that we're focused on, but then also recruiting the tutors themselves mm-hmm. and the students that we'll be working with. So I'm really excited. I have just about the number of tutors that I was hoping for recruited. So they're going to be awesome to work with. I have a PhD candidate who's had a lot of tutoring and teaching experience will be helping me work on an online tutor training course to prepare all of our tutors. And then hopefully this August or September begin with our first pilot students.
Definitely. Well, walk me through your just vision of the pilot student. How does this engagement work with the tutors and the students? This is overseas. This is all through a digital platform. How does this engagement work? And what's the benefit of the students? What's the benefit of the tutors?
Definitely. Great question. So my pedagogical model for this service is threefold, kind of three tiers that we're looking at. So at the first level, I want to be able to provide a library to our students of online tutorials, videos, web like textbooks that they can look at, because there is so much content out there. And really, the pedagogical model of today has really changed in terms of kind of the flipped classroom approach and not being so much, you know, the expert or teacher on the stage lecturing to everyone, but, you know, allowing students to go out and learn on their own and, you know, read or watch a video or whatever it is, and then come back with the teacher, the tutor, and engage in, you know, a lot more critical thinking, Socratic dialogue, projects, problem solving, that sort of thing. So at the first level for our model is having that library available to the students so mm-hmm. that whatever they're studying, they can go and study those things on their own time, you know, whatever that looks like for them. And then when they meet with their tutor through our platform, that's really where they're going to be doing a lot more individualized learning, as the tutor gets to know them, builds a strong relationship with them, and then, you know, working on things from like contextualizing content so that it has a real world, you know, connection.
That's huge right there.
Yeah. And KP was very wise in helping me to see things from that vantage point. So, you know, critical thinking, dialogue, those sorts of things, analysis that they'll be doing with the tutor themselves. And then at the third stage, I really strongly believe that the best way to show that you know someone, know something, is to teach someone else, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to work with a couple partner schools in Africa or South America where our students can be an online tutor.
And try to go out there and teach these other
exactly.
people.
Exactly. And so I think that's important, not only, you know, just in terms of how we learn and being able to express and articulate what we know, but I think more importantly, being able to develop that sense of global awareness and social mission that, you know, these students would come away from their interaction with our program and tutors and, you know, not just have the mentality that it's all about me and my education and what I know, but, you know, I've been given a lot so that I can pour into others as well.
Well, it sounds like you guys are building sort of a custom curriculum for every student that's sort of, it's built around their strengths and helps support their weaknesses. So it's going to help really accelerate their learning process. Well, I know the traditional process is that, especially that we have in America, I mean, people get hung up, they get bored, or they get disinterested, and they end up hating school. So it doesn't really matter how intellectual they are, how smart they could be, or where they're really their ceiling is, where they can reach. It's sort of just hampering them. So
exactly. Yeah. So we're very much trying to take a highly individualized approach to their education. And, you know, realizing also that's not always academic.
Yeah.
You know, academics are one piece of it, but also helping to identify other areas of, you know, strength and, you know, their giftings, so that, you know, we're really looking at the whole person, not just, you know, you're trying to compete for these limited number of spots at, you know, a certain school.
So what do you need more of? What are you looking for? Are you looking for more tutors, more students, just someone to come in and say, hey, here's $5 million, go change the world?
Yeah, well, $5 million is always nice, but I would say the two biggest things right now, I would love some more tutors, although I will say I am immensely pleased with the group I have right now. And I feel like just being someone who is more of a start small, you know, and grow from there type of person, I'm happy with, you know, not having a large batch of tutors at this point. Probably the biggest thing, though, is the pilot schools that we would work with. Mm-hmm. And so I've reached out to a number of potential international schools. And so just needing to solidify what that will look like, you know, people who are open to kind of being that first wave where, you know, there's going to be kinks to be worked out. And that's scary when it's your child's education. But I really believe that we have something of value to offer to these families.
Definitely. Well, how do people reach out if they want to learn more, if they want to come help in this process and be part of it?
Definitely. So our website is www.myglobalgurus.com. So if you go there, you can find my email address, and I would love, you know, to connect with anybody who's interested in learning more, either as, you know, a potential family or student or tutor, or, you know, just wants to check out what we're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. It's a pleasure having both of you guys on today. So my final question really is, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs that are sort of in your shoes and they want to go out there, they have an idea, they want to go execute on it and do it? What's the first step? What advice would you give them? Let me start with Ryan.
Definitely, you got to find people that were support you, but still give you the straight up truth. You know, I think we all have those friends or have those people in our lives. They're like, oh yeah, it's great. But you know, if you don't have that pushback that I think we all had with with KP, is that you don't really start to jump over hurdles and start to think differently and start to have, you know, get your creativity going. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a balance. You got to have people who support you, but you also have to have those people that, you know, are giving you the pushback and he's like, dude, you know, it's, you need to work on this or yeah, this is not, you know, not going to cut it. So doing that, you know, and being prepared for when people stick their neck out for you is, you know, to present. So if you have the idea and like, hey, I know this person, you know, they have the potential to get you what you need. You know, you have to be prepared with your whole presentation and not just be like, oh, I've got this idea. You know, and, you know, you can't just talk about it. So, you know, for people working, you know, trying to create a business, you know, it's all about the prep work. It's all about the work you do before you get to the people that, you know, have the ability to take you places. So it's all that, the beginning stuff.
Awesome. Amanda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely second Ryan's point about, you know, being willing to accept pushback. It's really important. And in the end, it's only going to make what you're doing stronger if it's really something that's worth moving forward on. So that's huge. But, you know, in addition to receiving pushback, I would also say be confident in what you have to offer, because it's really discouraging out there, you know, and there's going to be so many things that you're like, oh, someone else is doing something similar, it looks like, or they have more funding or better looking team or whatever it might be. And it's really easy just to feel like you want to throw in the towel. And I would just really encourage, you know, entrepreneurs out there that it's like, if you have an idea that you think is worth, you know, sticking your neck out for, do it, you know, and be confident in that and really trust your own gut, because I've really, you know, seen in this process that, you know, sometimes it's like, well, he's smarter with business or, you know, she knows more about education. And there's always going to be people who are smarter and, you know, better at things than you are. But, you know, if you really feel like you're onto something and, you know, you feel strongly about, you know, a certain approach or path that you're taking, go for it. And, you know, don't look back and don't let other people discourage you.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Jim Carrey did a commencement speech recently for our high school, and it's really blown up the internet. And he was talking about his father took, you know, he had some dreams of being a comedian, and his dad took a, you know, a pretty safe job to be able to pay the bills. Well, you know, that safe job got fired, and he was homeless. And so his point was being, you know, you can take no risk and maybe do something, or you can take a lot of risk and maybe, you know,
do something great,
do something that you love. And so, you know, that's my point. If you are passionate about your idea, you know, surround yourself with supportive people. And if your idea is good, then that will not be a problem. People will come to you and, you know, want to support you. But, you know, in that sense is that you gotta take everything with a grain of salt.
Well, definitely. And also, I think we learned from our mentors. These people talked about how they failed at multiple companies before they are where they are. And it's about getting back up and getting back on the horse and doing something else. And they just kept going at it. So,
and that's why I think, you know, you can't be afraid of failure, because you learn the most when we fall. And I've learned that plenty of times in my own life. And, you know, if you're afraid to fail, then that's the best learning experience you can possibly have.
Definitely.
Totally agree.
Well, thank you both for coming on today and talking about TIEX. If anyone out there is interested in going through the TIEX program, you can email Katie, that's KATIE, at tie-atlanta.org. And go check it out. Go to the website. Just type TIE Atlanta into Google. And really, it's a great experience, and you guys should go through it.
Absolutely. So, yeah. It was awesome.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.
Thanks, Kevin.